And I'll read it again in your hearing just for emphasis sake. And it is taken out of 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse number 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them others besides the Amorites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Lessons from a king. Lessons from a king. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Lessons from a king. On Wednesday, January the 11th of this year, the FAA grounded all domestic flights in the United States because of a computer glitch. Over 8,000 flights were delayed as a result. Some wondered if this really was a computer glitch or a cyber attack. The system that was affected was the NORDAM system, the acronym for Notice to Air Mission. This system is considered by some to be the Bible for all commercial airline pilots. The NORDAM system alerts pilots about closed runways, equipment outages, and other potential hazards that could impact an airline flight route or at a location. This system provides airlines and pilots with real-time information as it relates to flights, hazards, and restrictions. Commentator after commentator said, never in the history of modern-day aviation have they recalled the FAA grounding all domestic flights due to a computer glitch. Members of Congress in both houses, Democrats and Republicans, wanted to know what happened. President Biden wanted to know what happened. How soon can the glitch be corrected so that travelers can get on with their business of traveling? Two themes were highlighted from this chaos that unfolded across America. What do we need to do to get the plane safely back in the air ASAP, and what lessons can we learn from this incident? What lessons can be learned is a frequently asked question after every major event or disaster that causes a mass loss of life, a mass loss of property, or financial ruin. Indeed, reading the accounts in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we are presented with the questions, what relevant lessons can we learn from King Jehoshaphat as we move deeper into the year? How significant are those lessons, and how do we apply those lessons to our lives in a practical way? How can we use these lessons to bless our own lives and be a blessing to others as we travel this journey called life? Jehoshaphat, the son of King Asa, began his reign at the age of 35 years old, and he reigned for 25 years. And the Bible states in 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse 11, Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David, his father. Jehoshaphat walked in all the ways of Asa, his father, and turned not aside from doing it that was right in the eyes of the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 43. In other words, Jehoshaphat did not fall too far from the tree. He came from good stock. His father, King Asa, set a good example for Jehoshaphat to follow, and that example was doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. at the end of my journey here on earth, and at the end of your journey, may it be said that we did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Not only does the Bible say that Jehoshaphat did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse number 3, the Bible says, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father. There is nothing more reassuring to a believer in God knowing that God is with them through hills and valleys, good times and bad times. The assurance in knowing that God is with you brings satisfaction and joy. Friends may forsake you, family may forsake you, but the word of the Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Material and spiritual blessings came to Jehoshaphat and the nation of Judah as a result of the Lord's presence and his blessings. The presence and blessing of God upon Jehoshaphat was a direct result of him seeking God. During the reign of Jehoshaphat, the worship of Baal and other false gods had a stronghold upon the northern kingdoms. These practices were common during Jehoshaphat's time, yet he did not follow them. He chose to seek after the Lord God of his father and to walk in his ways and commandments. God is looking for a people in 2023 who will walk in his ways and in his commandments. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3 says, the love of God, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. In other words, his commandments are not burdensome. The issue before Jehoshaphat and his people during their time is the same issue before us today. And that is, who will we worship? Who will prevail? God or Baal? Where will we place our allegiance? No doubt, Jehoshaphat aligned himself with the God of heaven and earth. The practice of worshiping Baal had found its way into Judah, and Jehoshaphat continued to work the reform of his father, King Asa. When we look at 2 Chronicles chapter 14, beginning with verse number 3, it says, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. Verse 4, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandments. Jehoshaphat sought to build up his people spiritually, militarily, and in the ways of God. He sent princes and the Levites and prophets to instruct the people. 2 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse 9 says, and they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. As a result of this, there was a great reformation that took place. 2 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse 10 puts it this way, and the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the land that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Prophet and Kings, page 191 says, as many endeavor to understand God's requirement and to put away sin, a revival was effected. To this wise provision for the spiritual need of his subjects, Jehoshaphat owed much of his prosperity as a ruler. In obedience to God's law, there is great gain. The Bible says this way, it is better to obey than to sacrifice. in conformity to the divine requirement, there is a transforming power that brings peace and goodwill among men. If the teaching of God's word were made the controlling influence in the life of every man and woman, if mind and heart were brought under its restraining power, the evil that now exists in national and in social life would find no place. From every home would go forth an influence that would make men and women strong in spiritual insight and in moral power, and thus nations and individuals would be placed on vantage ground. Jehoshaphat, living in peace and prosperity, continued to build up Judah. This was a time of material and spiritual gain for Jehoshaphat and his subjects. He built up his forces and defenses all around Judah so that all would be safe. It is during this time the king enjoyed an abundance of riches, honor, and influence. This enabled him to use that which he gained for truth and righteousness. Jehoshaphat, now living his best life, makes an error in judgment. For some of us, we know what that feels and look like. All is going well in life. Life could not be any better. And then one error in judgment can cost us our life, job, home, and even our family. The error in judgment is the result of Jehoshaphat agreeing to an alliance with King Ahab. Yes, Ahab, Jezebel's husband. This alliance was sealed by the marrying of their children to each other. Jehoshaphat's son married Ahab and Jezebel's daughter. As believers in God, Christians should be very careful about who we align ourselves with. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 puts it this way: "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" We run a great risk and danger when we align ourselves with unbelievers. Can we grab a bite to eat with them? Absolutely. Can we invite them over to our homes? Of course we can. There are a host of things that you and I can do with unbelievers. How else are we to witness to them and be a source of encouragement to them if we're not fellowshipping with them? We must always remember Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. In Ministry of Healing, page 143, she writes, "The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them. He ministered to their needs. He won their confidence. Then he bade them follow me." However, our engagement with others should not lead to any type of alliance that goes contrary to God's will, causes us to question God's commands, or lead us away from the word of God. The alliance between the two kings was truly a moment of weakness for Jehoshaphat and not in harmony with God's will. Ahab asked Jehoshaphat to go into battle with him. Jehoshaphat said yes. Then he says, "I pray thee at the word of the Lord today." In other words, after Jehoshaphat gave his consent to go into battle with Jehoshaphat, he wanted now to see whether or not there was a word from the Lord and whether or not the Lord was in harmony with that decision. Jehoshaphat made that alignment was a disaster. I am sure we all have at some point in our lives made a decision without first consulting with God, and the end result did not turn out the way we had planned. The decision that Jehoshaphat made not only impacted him, but it also impacted those within the kingdom. In spite of the fact that he made a decision without God, God extended to Jehoshaphat his amazing grace. Just as God extended his grace to Jehoshaphat, he too will extend his grace to you and me. There isn't anything we've done or could ever do that would suggest we deserve the grace of God. But because of God's unfailing love for us, he extended to us undeserved favor. God's grace cannot be earned. It can only be accepted as it is freely given. Grace, grace. God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace. God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sins. It is here that we find in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse number 1 that the Bible says, "It came to pass after this that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them others beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle." The word that came to Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 2 said, "There cometh a great multitude," was not only a threat, it was a real threat, a clear and present danger. This threat presented itself after he realized the error of his ways because of his alignment with Ahab and nearly costing him his life as a result of that partnership. This vast army was in En-Gedi, headed towards Jehoshaphat and the kingdom. No doubt, Jehoshaphat was well within his right to be fearful. When you and I have three opposing forces coming against you, it is a natural human response to be fearful. Though the king was a man of courage and battle, the Bible says Jehoshaphat feared. We've all been fearful at one time or another in our life. Fear rises up at the thought of losing our job. How am I going to pay the mortgage? How am I going to pay the car note? How am I going to put food on the table? Fear rises up when confronted with bad news from the doctor. "I see something," the doctor says, "and I'm not sure what it is. We're going to need to take some additional tests." And the test comes back and it's cancer. Fear rises up. And fear can rise up when our spouse is laid to rest and we're faced with the question, "Now what?" This normal human response have at times been known to leave a person paralyzed by the issues that's before them. For others, it causes them to stand up to meet the challenge. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, "For the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Jehoshaphat did not succumb to his fears. He set himself to seek the Lord. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6 says this: "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Psalms 105 and verse 4 says, "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore." But I like the way Jeremiah says it in Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. "And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." Here, the Bible assures us that the Lord of heaven and earth is not hard to be found and is ready to act on our behalf. Jehoshaphat had for some time been building up his forces and fortifying his defenses and preparing to meet any foe. Yet, during this crisis, he placed his trust not in his armies. He placed his confidence not in the fenced cities. He, Jehoshaphat, placed his trust and his confidence in God. He must have remembered how he had previously made a decision without consulting God and how disastrous that decision was. This time, he was committed to handling this crisis and all other crises in a different manner. He sought the face of God. Not only did he seek the face of God, he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. This proclamation had one purpose and one purpose only, and that was to inform all of the crisis at hand, and that from the king's perspective, this calls for and requires prayer and fasting. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17 that some things can only be accomplished by prayer and fasting. 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse number 6. Hear what the word of the Lord says. And they gathered together at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Verse 8. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hands of the Philistines." And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. That's a beautiful thing, that when you and I cry unto the Lord, that the God of heaven and earth hears us. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on the day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. Not only did the Lord hear Samuel, but the Lord answered the prayer of Samuel. Amen. Jehoshaphat and Judah faced a threat to their existence, and nothing short of them coming together as a nation, united and declaring that their help, their hope, and their existence depended wholly and solely on God's deliverance. Lessons, when we look at lessons from a king, we also want to see where and pay attention to the fact that we are to pray a prayer of faith and confidence in the Lord. This was a great prayer meeting that took place. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Jehoshaphat prayed a prayer of faith and confidence in God. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything in his will, according to his will, he heareth us." And you see Jehoshaphat now in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 as he begins to unfold. It says, and now let me start with verse number 3, where it says, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself
to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast. And Judah gathered themselves together to seek the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, he's praying, O Lord, our God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest thou not over all kingdoms of the heathens? And in thy hand is there not power and might? Jehoshaphat is praying a prayer of faith, so that none is able to withstand thee. Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before the people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? Jehoshaphat, in his prayer, is also citing history. He is familiar with what happened with Abraham and how they was driven out. And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name's sake, saying, if when evil come upon us as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence for thy name's sake, in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction that thou would hear and help. Here, Jehoshaphat is saying he is familiar with the prayer that Solomon prayed at the dedication of the temple. And Jehoshaphat is now claiming that prayer. Verse 10. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come and to cast us out of the possession which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. Jehoshaphat now confessed the limits to himself and to the children of Judah. He says, we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. Have you ever been in a situation where you just didn't know what to do? But you can do this. Jehoshaphat said, we don't know what to do, but what we're going to do is our eyes are stayed on thee. The songwriter pens the word, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look fully in his face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glorious face. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. I can imagine what that day was like. Everybody, Jehoshaphat called the fast, and everybody is standing there, wives and husbands, single parents, children, grandparents, brothers and sisters, all of Judah standing there. Jehoshaphat is praying. And now after he has finished praying, the Bible says here that they all stood there. And at that point, I can just imagine at the end of the prayer, nobody is moving. Nobody is saying anything. You could hear a whisper, not a sound even from the children. Maybe a little whimper here and there. Everybody is standing there. Why? Because they're standing there waiting on God, waiting to see what the Lord is going to do. The Bible says that they stood there. As they stood there in verse 14, the Bible says, Jehazel, the Levite, the word of the Lord came upon Jehazel, the Levite, and he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat. Here now is the answer to Jehoshaphat's prayer. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed, For by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but of God. In other words, what the Bible here is saying is, Jehoshaphat prayed, the people stood there waiting on God. And there's a lesson here that we are to wait on God and see what the Lord can do. And as they waited, nobody's saying anything. Nobody is moving. And now the Spirit of the Lord moves upon Jehazel, and he says, hearken, listen unto me, Judah. Listen unto me, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Listen unto me, Jehoshaphat. And the very thing that brought them concern, the very thing that brought them fear, that is the first thing that Jehazel said, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. It is here where we see that Jehoshaphat now truly repented of his ways. He truly repented from the fact that he made a decision without seeking God. And I don't know about you, but I've been there, made a decision without seeking God. And I look back on the decision that I made, and I said to myself, man, I wish things would have gone a different way. But not this time. Jehoshaphat learned from his lessons, and now he sought the Lord his God. He invited Judah to come and to seek the Lord his God. And as he prayed, and as he finished praying, he waited. That is something hard for you and I to do, to pray and to wait for the answered prayer. But the Bible says, wait, be of good cheer, wait, I say, on the Lord. And as he waited on the Lord, God answered. He answered the prayer, and he told him, don't be concerned about what's in front of you. Don't be fearful about those who are coming up against you. Don't be alarmed. Yes, it is a great multitude. Yes, there are issues and challenges that you and I face in life each and every day. But God says, be not dismayed, nor be afraid, for the battle is not yours. It is the Lord. And so the Bible goes on to say that once they got the word, verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord and worshiped the Lord as a result of the answered prayer, as a result of God assuring them that he would fight their battles. Prophet and Kings, page 202, says this: God was the strength of Judah in this crisis, and he is the strength of his people today. We are not to trust in prince, nor to set men in place of God. He who has all power is our strong tower of defense. Listen to these words. In every emergency. She didn't say some. She says, in every emergency, we are to feel that the battle is the Lord's. His resources are limitless, and apparent impossibilities will make the victory all the greater. As we go deeper into this year, let us consider the lessons from Jehoshaphat. Acknowledge the reality of our situation. Seek the Lord. Pray a prayer of faith and confidence in the Lord your God. Confess your limits. Wait on God. Obey his every command. And finally, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, there have been times where we made decisions without you. There have been times, Father, when we have ran ahead of you. But Father, help us to seek your face, to seek your presence, and to trust in you, even when surrounded by the issues and the challenges of life, and they will come. But may we place our trust, our hope, our confidence, and our help in you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.